She's got everything she needs. She's an artist, she don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist, she don't look back. She can take the dark out of the nighttime and paint the daytime black.
I'm Peter Velkovich, and this is The Artist Speaks, where we talk to Central Minnesota artists and share with you their interesting and inspiring stories. In October of 2014, I had a chance to interview visual artist Sarah Drake. Sarah is a different kind of artist whose main goal is not to paint pretty pictures, but rather to engage viewers in thinking critically about the world. After receiving her master's degree in social responsibility from St. Cloud State University, Sarah discovered almost by accident that becoming an artist would help her achieve her goal of effecting positive social change. Since taking a life-changing trip to Africa in 2011, Sarah started a successful nonprofit called Her Arts in Action that helps disadvantaged groups throughout the world, and her art has been exhibited in major cities such as New York, Moscow, and London. Welcome to the studio, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You call yourself an artist in action. Can you tell me what that means?
This stems out of my being a student at St. Cloud State. I have my master's in social responsibility, and that's about taking action around social justice issues. At least for me, that's what it means. And so the idea of when there's things out in the world that impact people or animals or the environment, not just sitting back and, you know, even only talking about it, but actually doing something about it. And I've told people that I'm not an artist that makes pretty stuff to hang on a wall. There's nothing wrong with that. That stuff's beautiful, but that's not my purpose. I didn't become an artist to be an artist. Art was my tool to educate about the topics that I'm passionate about. And so that's where the artist in action comes in.
So this master's in social responsibility, tell me what that's all about.
It's an interdisciplinary program with the human relations and multicultural education and sociology are the main departments. And then you also get women's studies, ethnic studies, and other departments on campus creating this degree so you can learn about. Again, for me, it was the things that I took most out of it was human rights, discrimination, social justice, social change kind of topics.
So the purpose of getting a master's in social responsibility is what?
For me, it was the fact that I was a single mom and I was graduating from my bachelor's and I couldn't afford to work. The cost of childcare compared to the jobs that were out there. I one day was just broken and I ran into somebody in the program and she's like, well, apply for your master's and I'll get you a GA. And then being a single mom, there was some funding available for that. So it wasn't even on my radar to do it. But that's the kind of things that this program's about is, you know, finding the marginalized, the disadvantaged, and getting those resources to them so that they can be successful and things like that. So I found it on accident, but it was on purpose. So
when you completed your degree, what did you intend to do at that point?
I wanted to have an impact on the world, and I was really struggling with having successful conversations about that. And then later, that's where art came in to help have those conversations.
Who were you having these conversations with?
Whether it was my family, friends, the general public, through my jobs. Just the across the board. For the first time, allowed myself to fall in love. Gave all. And as fast as it happened, it was done. And so I was an emotional wreck. And though I was very artistic growing up, and that's when I was young what I wanted to be, it wasn't a realistic career choice, and I was kind of guided away from the arts. And so I had gotten away from art for many years, but my daughter naturally gravitated towards the arts. And so like that was her punishment is, okay, if you're being naughty, then you can't color or create something. And so when I was going through all these emotions, she said, you know, why don't you paint? And so I started to paint and I didn't stop. I just kept painting and I kept painting these huts that had decorations on them and these ugly trees and doing it over and over. And I had no idea why, because I had never seen that before. My daughter is biracial. Her dad is from Guinea in West Africa. And I have many friends from throughout the continent of Africa. And so I assumed that these huts were representative of somewhere from the continent. And so since I had kept doing it, I was like, okay, let's see what this is about. And I Googled painted mud huts in Africa and looked at the images. And I found this village in the southern part of Burkina Faso that, although my paintings did not look anywhere near as good as what those did, I knew that's what it was. And so that's what got me started back into art and started the whole process of looking at taking a trip to this country.
You Googled this idea of huts and Africa, mm-hmm. and it led you to that location. So yep. What happened after that?
So I just inside felt this need, this desire. I had to go. And I didn't have the money. I didn't have the resources. And I didn't know anyone. And I didn't speak the language. And this village, you know, my idea of camping is a hotel at that point. And so nothing matched up to be that this would be something logical or realistic for me to do. And so everybody thought I was nuts, but it all just came together. I had a friend that I had approached him. I wasn't happy in my job. And I said, hey, do you have any work for me to do? And he's like, no, but I have this program that I can contract with you on. And it just happened to be the amount needed for a plane ticket. And I had somebody that I knew from Burkina Faso. And I said, hey, I have this wacky idea that I'm supposed to go to your country, but I don't know anyone. You know, can you hook me up? And he gave me the phone number of somebody. And, you know, so I called them and said, hey, I want to come. And they're like, well, you can stay with us while you're in the city. And so I took a leap of faith and I went.
Amoya.
But I stayed in the city for 4 or 5 days before heading out to the village, which was about 3 or 3.5 hours drive out into the middle of nowhere. Prior to going on the trip, I knew Burkina Faso was a poor country. It's a third world country, so you make assumptions. It's poor. It's, you know, there's different things that are going to be lacking. But I didn't have a lot of knowledge. I didn't know to what level. And so I mean, just extreme poverty. And after leaving and doing more research, found that it's usually the poorest country in the world or one of the poorest countries in the world financially. There wasn't electricity. There wasn't running water. And so I was lucky enough to be able to work with two women, and they taught me some of the techniques of painting that they do. And we painted the side of one of the huts. And I knew to bring bottled water with me and not to drink the water. But beyond that, I didn't know anything. So we're using our hands to side the walls and to paint, and not knowing that there's cow dung in the mixture. And then you wash your hands with dirty water and no soap. And then you eat with your hands because there's no utensils. So, of course, I got sick. It was in that whole experience of being in the village, you know, taking a shower was a bucket that three or four of us shared. And this half wall that when I stood up was lower than my chest. And the wrap that you had around you, you had to take off in a way that then could be hung over the stick, so then it'd become your shower curtain. And so I'd have to squat down because I didn't want anyone to see me. And people could also use that as the bathroom, but there's no hole there. So all the shower water, the bathroom, everything ran across the main walking path where people walk barefoot and into the field where they worked and had their food. So it just became very apparent the sanitation issues that were there. I just asked if I could, you know, talk to whoever wanted to have a conversation with me. I see some needs here, but it's not my place to come in here and say, you need this and I'm going to do this for you. That's not the way I think. And that's one of those things that I learned from the social responsibility program is you work with others. You don't work for them. And so we sat down and had a conversation on what it is that I know, what resources I have access to, the skills that I had. I told them, I don't have money. Like, I struggle to get by as a single mom myself. And they said, we want jobs and education. And that's what I did at my job here at the Workforce Center. And so I put my work hat on and I said, okay, let's talk about that. So let's say I could bring jobs and education to the village for every one of you. Are you healthy enough to work? Are your children healthy? Do your children have daycare or school? Do you have transportation to get to work? We started going through all the questions that I asked my clients here. And it was no, 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 no. So I said, even if I could bring jobs and education to the village, you either wouldn't be able to get to it or you wouldn't be able to retain it. And I said, so let's step back. I said, what are the bare basics? We need air and water to live. Do we have both of those? And they said, no. And I said, well, then that's where we need to start. Because if we don't have air and water, we can't live. And so that's where the whole water project idea started. And I don't know anything about water projects. I don't have money for this. So what can we do? And I said, well, I have a bunch of art sitting in my one-bedroom apartment that I painted that I have no idea what I'm going to do with. I've never tried to sell art. I was painfully shy prior to going. And that vulnerability of trying to sell your art, I was just like, oh, my goodness. But that's what I can do because I don't have any money that I can spare. So I said, okay. I said, I will research water projects and get a water project in, and I will start selling my art so that I can help fund the project. And that's where it started.
Oh yeah.
How did it feel to you going into this environment where people struggled so hard? I mean, did you go through any trauma just living in this environment?
It wasn't trauma living in that environment. It was coming back here that I had the real trouble with. Because I knew there would be poverty. I knew there would be those things. And at first it was hard with the beggars on the street and, you know, realizing, okay, don't have eye contact with them or, you know, they'll harass you. I mean, that was difficult, but I was able to get through it. But it was coming here. And I can't remember any specific examples of it, but I just remember the transition back when I got here was really hard.
But why?
I think part of it is just the amount of waste we have here, the way we take things for granted. You know, that was one of the things in the village. Everybody's talking about how poor these people are, and I got so defensive. I'm like, they're not poor. I said they're economically disadvantaged because they are so wealthy in the ways that matter. They're so gracious and grateful, and they're happy. They're smiling all the time. Like they maybe, if lucky, got one meal a day, and they were still smiling, and they were giving me gifts. And that was really hard for me because I knew they needed that. But it would have been so extremely offensive if I wouldn't have taken those gifts from them. And also just being grateful for everything. Not that I was a negative person, but no matter how bad something is, trying to find at least one positive out of it has, and that's really, you know, changed my life too. And that came from those women.
So you decided then to try to sell your art in order to use the proceed to help with the water situation in this village. How did that work out then?
So I remember Visual Arts Minnesota had an open art call. It was in September or August. It was part of an art crawl. And I was like, okay, I need to enter that. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't enter that. I can't put myself out there. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't be, you know, having my artwork next to these artists, and started going through that spiral. I was totally taken out of the factor. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about how good or bad my art was. It wasn't about whether I was shy. It wasn't about, you know, how am I going to feel around these real quote unquote artists. It was about, okay, I made a commitment to these women that this is something I was going to try and do, and I need to do that. And so that's how it started. And I had met another artist that, you know, kind of took me under his wing and, you know, gave me some advice about things. And from then, you know, learned about the different opportunities in our community for artists. So I learned about Visual Arts Minnesota having sketchbooks and other activities to meet artists and some of the things that the Paramount was doing. And then just decided to go to anything and everything that I could get myself to, because although this is a smaller community, it was a very close-knit group of artists, it felt to me. And it seemed hard to kind of break into that. And so, and also not knowing where opportunities were. And so anytime I could go to an artist reception or some sort of event, I was there. And it got to the point where people were like, wow, you're everywhere. And that was intentional so that I could learn what was going on, and quickly found that, you know, a lot of the opportunities, the collaborations, were people talking after an art reception because they went to the local pub, the restaurant, whatever, and had a conversation, and they started talking about a project grant they had, and whoever happened to be at that table was involved in the project. And so just really becoming mindful of where opportunities were and trying to be at those spaces.
So now you are on the road to becoming an artist, or you, mm-hmm. you were being an artist and you were following that road. Meanwhile, the village back in Africa mm-hmm. is waiting for you to do what?
We did some research and found that although there are organizations that do water and sanitation projects in Burkina Faso, they didn't operate in that part of the country and they weren't interested in doing it. And so that's when we decided that we'll just do it ourselves and So I started Heard Arts in Action, and we just got our nonprofit status in August. And like I said, you know, I didn't know about wells and toilets, and but that's just like many of the other projects I've gotten involved in, is there's something that, because of my privilege as an American, a white person, whatever it might be, there's things that I have access to that other people don't. And so I often get involved in projects that I know nothing about what it is at the core, but because I have access to those resources, I'm involved. And so this just became another one of those projects where, okay, I have access to starting a nonprofit and fundraising the money ourselves, and we'll do the work ourselves. The initial start is specifically for that village, but the goal is to be able to expand it to anywhere. And then also locally having a art component, you know, art as a tool for social change, and also engaging people of color, low income, those with various abilities that don't necessarily have access to the arts, or maybe they don't feel comfortable. Many of the things that I've gone to, I've noticed about a 5% of people of color attending the various art events. But when I do stuff, I think the lowest I've had is 40%. And so really looking at what we can do to engage folks that they can feel comfortable being around the arts.
How is that water situation in the village now?
Now that we have nonprofit status, we're hoping it'll be easier to fundraise. Our goal right now is to, we have our With a Drop project, you know, because it just starts with a drop of water, a drop of money in the bucket. And we need to go back to the village to do an assessment, because like we had assumed other people would be doing this project. When I left at that point, I don't know where we need wells. I don't know where we need toilets and sinks. And I don't know how many, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it's been really hard to get that information via distance, with the lack of technology in the village, our language barriers, because I'm not fluent in French or the local language. And so we've decided we need to go back to the village and do this assessment. And so we're currently fundraising. Our goal is to raise $11,000. So that we can go and do this project. Well, there's not organizations doing projects in that part of the country. I know, and my board members know, people in Burkina Faso that have been part of water projects that are willing to share information with us. And so putting all these pieces together is our goal, so that we can then move forward and start the process.
Talking to artist Sarah Drake, and Sarah, I would like to shift direction just a little bit. Tell me about your art.
I started out doing a lot of African-themed artwork.
Representational?
Representational, a little surreal, but I found that was the story I needed to tell. I could feel that for me, and it got me started, but it wasn't what Central Minnesota wanted to buy. And so I was like, what can I do that stays true to me and the story that the women in the village want told, but people in Central Minnesota will buy? And that's when I switched to doing more abstract work this year, which was something new for me and was kind of scary, but I've really enjoyed it. It's really interesting to see people talk about a piece and they get some of what I was doing.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but getting that degree in social responsibility has led to some good things, not only for you, but the people that you come into contact with.
Yes, I never would have guessed that I would have been, you know, on this path. And, you know, some of the things I was already doing before I started the program, but there are, are many things that, you know, I never would have imagined putting, you know, art as a tool for social change. So, there have been some great things. With Her Arts in Action, we're in fundraiser mode now that we got our nonprofit status. It's towards the end of the year, so people are looking for tax deductions. So we have a With a Drop campaign on Indiegogo until November 30th. And even once that deadline passes, people can still donate on our website or send a check to our PO box. But we've got that going on.
Well, Sarah Drake, it's been great talking to you. Your story is fascinating, and I'm very inspired by what you're doing. And thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back.
For more information about Sarah Drake, visit her website at saradrake.com. And thank you to Burkina Faso native Sheik Lo for the use of his music from his CD, Jam.
Start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees, but you will wind up peeking through a keyhole down upon your knees.